Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Sukkah Lamed Vav. We're holding right on top of the Amud here. It says the Gemara, Nistak Nikav. Let's go back to the Mishnah. Nistak means the Esrog was split. Nikav, it got a hole, but it's not actually missing any flesh. It got punctured by a needle. That's kosher. Tani Ula Bar Chinina. Ula Bar Chinina presented as a brisa as follows. Sometimes even a nekev can disqualify the estrog. Nikav nekev mefulish b'mashu. If this nekev, this hole, is through and through, from one side of the estrog all the way to the other, according to the Rush, mefulish means it reaches the inner chambers, the chadrei hazera. So the inside of the estrog was reached. That's called nikav nekev mefulish. Then, even if it's not actually missing any flesh, b'mashu, even if it's a small, tiny hole through the prick of a needle, so it's not actually missing any flesh, the esrog is puzzled. V'she'enei mefulish b'ke'isra. Or, if the nekev is not through and through, but it's a large hole, the size of an iser coin, then it's puzzled. It says Rashi on the top line. Tani Ula Bar Chinina. He's going back on the Mishnah, which says, Anika v'lechoser koi. He's going back on the Mishnah. It got a hole, but it's not missing any flesh. The mach shor tana de masnisen, which our Tana says is kosher. V'os ahi tana lemeimar. Now this Tana of the Braisa will come and add, de'im mefulash hu metzidle tzidle posel. If the nekev is actually running from one side of the esrog to the other, through and through, it's posel b'nekev koloshu, afilo shol machat, even if it's via a needle. And it's not actually missing any material, any esrog material. Such a hole through and through invalidates the esrog. It's no longer hadar. It's posel. V'nekev she'enem mefulash b'ki iser. But if this nekev is not through and through, but it's very large in size, if it's the size of an iser, a coin, imrochav ki iser pasul, va'afa pishalei chaser klum, even though it's not actually missing any flesh, how do you get that? A large hole without missing anything? Kigon shetochav bo yosed ava. He inserted a wide peg, a nail, which he pushed into the estrog. So it's inverted, but it's not actually missing any flesh. It's pasul. So you have two examples of a nekev, which are poisel the estrog, mefulosh, through and through, or if it's large in size, even if it's not through and through. Umas nisen, the Mishnah which says kosher, bepoches miki iser, small size nekev, smaller than an iser coin, ubishayne mefulosh, and it's not through and through. So you have three possible psulim by a nekev. Either it's missing some of the flesh, or through and through, or large in size. It's Enim of Fulush, but it's Ki'isr. Continues the Gemara, three lines from the top. Boi Rava, what about the following case? Noil du be'esrig simoni treifamahu. We know there are many conditions called treifa conditions by an animal. So if the animal develops any of these conditions which are considered critical to its health, critical wounds, they make him a treifa and they make him asr b'achil. What about an esrig who developed signs which are similar to the treifa signs by an animal? No, what would be the halacha here? Would now the estrog be considered non-viable and lacking in a hadar? Do we say that or not? Mahu. Says, well, what did Rava have in mind? What condition was he referring to? Maika Miboyle, what was his shaila? E Niklaf, appealed estrog? Tanina, we discussed it in our Mishnah. E Nistak, a split estrog? There as well, Tanina, we learned in our Mishnah. E Nikav, he got a puncture. Tanina, that as well, was extensively discussed in our Mishnah. What was Rav's shaila? Rashi explains that all these conditions render an animal treifa. Well, when it comes to estrog, we had full discussion about it in the Mishnah, the Gemara. What's Rav's shaila? He was referring to the case presented by Ula, which is Reyok Shinishpacha Kekita Nikshera. An animal whose reya, whose lung, dissolved and is like the liquid inside a ketan, inside a container. Kasher, we say the animal is still kosher, it can revive, it can rejuvenate, it's fine. Vama Rava Vahu de Kaima Simpuna. Rava added, when a rea became liquefied, it's only going to be kosher provided the simpinos, the pipes, the windpipes, the channels of the lung are still somewhat intact. Ha lo kaimi simpuna treifa. But otherwise, if the entire interior of the lung dissolves with the simpinos, with those pipes, it's considered treifa. And the animal is asur ba'achila. Hachamai. Whatever similar condition develops by the estric. For instance, the interior of the estric became liquefied, became dissolved. And the simpinos of the estric are still intact. Now, how does the simpinos have to do with estric? So Rashi says we're speaking about the chadri hazera, those compartments which hold the seeds inside the estric are still intact. So we have an estric which became liquefied inside, but it still has the form of the estric. The compartments are still intact. What is the halacha? Hachamai. Should we equate it to the behema? Just as over there, there's no concern of trefa. Here as well, we say it's kosher. It's still somewhat in shape. It's still hadar. Or do we say esrog is worse? Dilma hasam hu delo shalit ba'avir, perhaps by the animal, whose lung is not exposed to the air. So it's concealed inside the animal. Hadabari, the animal will revive itself, rejuvenate. Aval hacha de shalit ba'avir, but when it comes to an esrog which is exposed to the open air, once it got to this point, it's going to rot. Seruchi masrachas, it's going to continue spoiling, and it's considered an unviable esrog, and it's not considered hadar. Oidimo, perhaps leishna, we won't differentiate, just as by an animal it's kosher, by an esrog as well. So what is the halacha? And this was Rav's shaila. This is what he meant when he said an esrog, which developed simoni trefa, mahu, what is the halacha? Tashma, listen to this riot. We have a brisa which says like this. Esrog tafuach, esrog which swelled, it bloated. Saruach got spoiled. Kavish, it was pickled. Shalok, heavily cooked. Kushi, black esrog. It grew in Eretz Kush, where the esrogim, as well as the people, are black. Lovan, it's white. Umenumar, spotted. Puzzle, esrog kadur puzzle. It's perfectly round like a ball. It's puzzle. Veish oimrim, some add, afat shoim. A double, a twin esrog. Two esrogim growing together as one. Esrog ha-poisel, what about a very small size esrog? Rabbi Kiva poisel? He says poisel. V'chachame machshir. God lo betfus. Suppose he grew the esrog in a form. V'asokim in bria cheres. And formed it to look like another fruit. There as well, it's poisel. Says Rashi, parallel to us, off to the right. Ha-poisel, katan kepul ha-lovin. A very small size esrog, the size of a small bean. Now the Mefarshim ask, haven't we already discussed the smallest size esrog in our Mishnah? Right? Shir esrog katan, back on Lamed Aleph, Amud Beis. Rabbi Meir says ke'egeis, Rabbi Yehuda says ke'beitzer. And here we began a new discussion about esrog ha'boiser. Rabbi Akiva says posel, Chum say kosher. How does that work? According to Rashi, it's the smallest esrog you can find, size of a pea. Why would it be kosher? So the Farshim answers, Shibbalah, Halakhah explains that the Mishnah is speaking about an esrog which is limited in its potential. It won't grow past that point. Certain species which will remain small for all time, and there we have to be careful. So unless it reaches the minimum size of a egoiz, according to Rav Meir, kebetz, according to Rav Yehuda, you don't have a gemar pur, you don't have a properly developed esrog. But in the case of esrog haboiser, where the esrog will just grow and develop further, it's not limited to this size. It's just beginning to grow. It's going to develop further. So once you see it starting to develop, here I have a shaila. Perhaps it's already considered on its way to development, and it's considered kosher for esrog. So that's the machlekes. Rabbi Kiva says, no, it's too small. Chacham say it's kosher. Continues Rashi, gidlu betfus. He grew the esrog in a form. She'oishu lo tfus kashu katan. He took a form, took a bottle, and when the esrog was still small in size, he inserts it into the bottle and has it grow in that form, which will turn into a certain design. The fus says Rashi, formalized. Any type of prototype, any type of form which you use for shaping things. Like they make shoes on top of a form. Sometimes you make it inside the form. Like in the lechem apanim, they had forms in which they inserted the dough. So these are examples of forms. And he turned it into gemibiri acheres, which doesn't look like an esrig, it's possible. So any of these unnatural phenomena are considered lacking in hador, and therefore they're unsuitable for mitzvah on sukkahs. That's the end of the brice. Continues the Gemara. Let's go back for a second. What does the brice say? Tafuach saruach, an esrog which was bloated, which spoiled. My love, let's perhaps assume, what is the brisa describing? What condition? Two separate conditions. Tafuach is mibachutz, on the outside it was swelled. Vesaruach is mibifnim. So outside is perfectly fine, but inside it liquefied and dissolved. What is the brisa telling us? That it's possible. Right? So it's pretty much intact, but inside fell apart and liquefied. So it's a riot, our shaila, that in this situation we cannot consider the esrog hadar. It's going to spoil and it's lacking in beauty and potential and viability. It's not considered a fruit intact. That's right, the rabbi's shaila. No, actually not. Idivi idim bachutz. Both descriptions, tafuach and surach, are describing exterior conditions, things which are visible from the outside. So what are the two things? But like Kasha, the answer is, one is describing hadar tafach. It swelled, it bloated, even though it hadn't really spoiled on the outside. The second case of sarach is describing a different case, slightly different. Hadar sarach, this one spoiled on the outside, even though it didn't swell or bloat. But we're speaking about conditions which are visible from the outside. However, if it's completely intact on the outside, just inside you have some dissolving, perhaps that's okay. Oh, Mamar, let's go back. Esrig kushi pasul. We spoke about an esrig kushi, which is pasul, a black one, which grows in Eretz Kush, pasul. Vatanya kushi kasha. Bryce allows use of a kushi. Doimel kushi pasul. If it's an imitation, then it's pasul. Meaning, it grew here, where esrigim are generally not black, and it's imitating the ones growing in Kush, then it's unnatural, then it's pasul. But a black esrig grown in Kush is fine. And here we say it's not. Amar Abaye ki tanan nami masnisin. When the Braisa and our Mishnah, back on Dalit, also said the same, that esrig kush is pasul, was speaking about doimel kushi tanan. It didn't grow in Eretz Kush. Over there, the black esrogim are reflective of the local produce. It's fine, it's natural, it's hadar. We're speaking where it grew here. And it's imitating the ones in Kush. It's black where it's not meant to be black. Let's go down to Rashi. So it's the line before the white. Doimel Kushi Pasul. Says Rashi, Shagadol Kan, it grew here. Variyu Shachar, and it's black. That's Pasul, Shenidmu. He's imitating, it's unnatural. Aval Kushi Atzmai, but the actual Esrog Kushi is fine. What does that mean? So it actually grew in Eretz Kush. It's meant to be black. Hainatam the Kasha. Why is it Kasha? The Urchihu. It's perfectly natural. It's the way it's meant to be. Let's go back to the Gemara. Rava Amar. Rava will give it a different answer. Better Kasha. The Braisa says Kushi is Kasha. And by us in the Braisa, and our Mishnah in the Flam Dal, we learned Kushi is Pasul. Rava Amar. Like Kasha, the answer is Halon Valahu. It depends who you're talking about. Lahu, meaning the people in Kush or living near Kush, for them it's natural, it's normal, it's hadar. Lon, for us in Eretz Yisrael, we're far from Kush. For us it appears abnormal, and it's lacking in hadar. So you see that hadar is a personal thing, it's all relative to what you're used to. Let's go back to Rashi, the second white line. Halon valahu. La'ilam asnisin kushi nami pasal. Here's the chiddush. This is Rav's chiddush. When the Mishnah says, Esri kushi pasal, even one who grew in Kush, even though locally it's acceptable, but it's not being used there. It's being used here. It was imported to Eretz Yisrael. V'lo kash, the answer is masnisin l'bnei Eretz Yisrael. Shuru chaykin Eretz Kush. When we say it's possible for the people living far away, ve'enem regilim b'hem, they're not used to, not accustomed to black estrogen. For them, it's not hodim. Braisa l'bnei bovel shekrovim l'kush. In the braisa, we say it's kosher for the people living near there. Regilim b'hem, who are accustomed to black estrogen. U'makom mokem. Either way, says Rashi, even Rava would agree. Begodol kanavadom l'kushi. Suppose it grows here, and it's an imitation of the kushi. It grows here where estrogen are yellow, and it looks black. Nidmuhu pasul, of course. It's an imitation, it's pasul, it's unnatural, and it's pasul. So bottom line is like this. If it's an esrog kushi, which grew in kush, being used in kush, it's certainly fine. That's the way it's meant to be. Black is beautiful in kush. If it was grown in a different land, where estrogen are not black, so that's called nidme. It's unnatural. It's certainly pasul. Rava added another chiddush. Even an esrog which grew in Kush, which is meant to be black, and was used in an area where they're unaccustomed to black estrogen, that's also lacking in hadar and pasul. Let's go back to the esrog habayser, says the Gemara. This small, undeveloped esrog, rekiva pasul, v'chachamim machshir. The Gemara figures, according to Rabbi Kiva, it's undeveloped. You can't consider it pre-Eitz Hadar. But the Chacham say, it grew sufficiently to be considered pre. That's what the Gemara figures at this point. The Shaila is whether or not it's considered a pre, and therefore, whether or not can it be used for Esrik. That's the Machlekes. Amr Rabbi Akiva of Rabbi Shimon, Amr David Echad. Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon on the same track. They both hold of the same opinion when it comes to mini Esrik. Rabbi Akiva Hodamar. Rabbi Akiva, the one we just mentioned. An underdeveloped esrog is not yet a pre, and is possible for mitzvah. Rabbi Shimon Mai, where do we find Rabbi Shimon? It's not. Rabbi Shimon Poiter is a esrogim bekoitan. Small esrogim kot Rabbi Shimon apotter from Truma and Maaser. The one figures, it's not yet a pre. And this is perfectly in line with Rabbi Akiva, who doesn't allow it to be used for mitzvah on sukkahs. Only Abai responds to Rabbah. Perhaps both discussions are unrelated, unconnected. Dilmaloi, perhaps the two things don't connect. They're based on separate reasons. Adkan like Amar Rabbi Kiva Hocha. Perhaps it's only over here by Esrik, where Rabbi Kiva maintains a mini Esrik. It's disqualified to be in Hadar. Let's keep in mind, Esrik needs to be beautiful. But like you don't have that when it's a small mini Esrik. Aval Hasam Kerabon Asvirli. When it comes to Truma and Maaser, perhaps he would agree to the Rabbanon. Small esrog, which is already edible, is considered enough of a pre to be chayv and maaser. So just because Rabbi Akiva doesn't allow it to be used for mitzvah, which requires hadar, doesn't necessarily mean he's going to exempt it from maaser. Inami, alternatively, go the other way. Ad kan like Amar Rabbi Shimon Hasan. Perhaps it's only over there that Rabbi Shimon says, a small esrog, pater from maaser. You know why? Ela dichsiv aser ta aser is called tvuas zarecha. Pasuk says, you meant to separate maaser from your grain, zarecha. What does that mean? Kederach shebnei adam maitzin lizriya. Only if it's developed enough where it can be used for regrowth, for planting, it has the ability to produce further. That's what the pasuk is telling you. At that point, you chayv and maaser. And when it comes to a mini esrik, Rabbi Shimon maintains, although it's edible, but doesn't have that quality. It's not yet able to be matzmiach, can be planted to produce another tree. And that's a requirement when it comes to chiyav of maaser. Aval hacha, when it comes to using that mini esrik for sukkahs, perhaps that's fine. K'rabbanon svirali, Rabbi Shimon would agree to the Rabbanon. It's enough of a pre, and it looks nice. It conforms to hadar. So basically, the two things are not related to each other. We have one discussion by lulav, in mini esrog, is it considered hadar or not? Another discussion by maaser. Do we say a small esrog, since it doesn't have the ability to regrow, is it pata from maaser? Yes or no? That's the machlekes there. Mesulay midi says the Gemara, there's nothing more to add. Indeed, you can't connect the two discussions. We spoke about godly b'tfus. He grew it in a form. V'asakim in b'riyacher is possible. He formed it into a fruit which does not resemble an esrog. It's possible. Amar Rav. Lo yishanu al kimin bri acheres. The concern only applies when indeed he formed it into a different type of fruit. Aval kapriyase kasha. But if it was formed into an esrog looking fruit, perfect esrog, but it's an esrog, that's fine. Pshita, of course, kimin bri acheres tnan. The Brisa discussed a different looking fruit. What's Rav's chiddush? Well, it's Richa, the answer is Davida Dapi Dapi. Rav was speaking where he formed it to look like Dapi Dapi, like it has sections, separated by sections. So it looks like an esrog, but it's a strange looking esrog. It has these lines and these sections. And the chiddush of Rav was, no. It's close enough. It resembles an esrog enough, and it's fine. Itma, we learned about an esrog shenegvu achbarim. Esrog which was punctured by mice. It was attacked by mice. So it's missing some of its material. Amarav eza hadar. It's no longer hadar. It cannot be used. Says the Gemara, Eini, is that so? Rabbi Chanina, matpil b'vanafik ba. Rabbi Chanina used to take his esrog long to shul for breakfast. Matpil ba, he would dip with it, take a bite from it, and use it the next day for mitzvah. So we see even an esrog which is missing some material is kasha for mitzvah. Rabbi Chanina kashi masnisin. What do you mean? One second. The Mishnah tells us an esrog which is missing some material is possible. How could Rabbi Chanina use this missing esrog? So before we discuss Rav with the Achbarim and how it's compatible with Rabbi Chanina, how does Rabbi Chanina work with the Mishnah, which doesn't allow using an incomplete esrog? The Mishnah won't be difficult on Rabbi Chanina because it all depends what day of the Yom Tov we're speaking. Come be Yom Tov Rishon. The Mishnah, which doesn't allow a chaser, is speaking on the first day where we say v'lokachtem l'kichatama, a complete taking, a full fruit. Come Yom Tov Sheni. Rabbi Chanina, who allowed a chaser to be used, on the second day, you don't have the din of l'kichatama to this extent. As long as you have a fruit, even if it's missing some material, it's okay. So Rabbi Chanina works out. By the way, the Mefarshim ask, you're not meant to have a noah from your esrog on Yom Tov, it's hooked till mitzvah. So apparently they say Rabbi Chanina had several esrogim, every day another esrog. So he would take a bite today and use it tomorrow. So he would actually benefit from it before it was set aside for the mitzvah. Okay, so that explains Rabbi Chanina. The first day of Yom Tov, it needs to be a shalim, complete esrog. But on the second day and on, a chaser is acceptable. Elul Rav Kashi, but it's still going to be a kashi on Rav. How did Rabbi Chanina use a bitten esrog, a chewed up esrog, whereas Rav tells us an esrog attacked by mice is completely possible? It would seem that Rav was referring even to the second day. It needs to be hadar. Omalach Rav Shaniach Barim de Meisi. Says Rav, well, attacked by mice, that's repulsive. Chewed up by Achbarim, that's a lack of hadar. Whether the first, second, third day of Yom Tov, that's not Rav Chanina. Rav Chanina, speaking, he personally took a bite out of his esrog, it's different. So although it's not a complete esrog, it's chaser, it can't be used on the first day, but for the second day, it's hadar enough. The rest of it is nice, and therefore it can be used. But in a case where Achbarim attacked your esrog, that's unsuitable even for the second day. It's lacking in hadar. Says Rashi on the third line from the top. V'Rabbi Chanina ma'atpuba eichel miktsasa. He had a little bit of his esrog. V'nafik, then he used it for his mitzvah. V'yoytzi dechivase benoiser umavarech alav. What's the term matpil? Says Rashi. V'hadar nakad matpil. That's the way they used to eat. They used to dip. V'shkol ma'cholim aydei tibul haya. Kodam rabbi Hashamish matbil b'nei ma'ayim or beitzach matbil b'yarka. It's just a term. They dip, they eat. Uber Achinen, the Gemara asks, what do you mean? How could he do that? Uber Achinen, kashi masnis, niktoni chaser kol shepasol. Mishnah says, if it's missing even a drop, it's pasol. Answers the Gemara, mishaninon, bishlam masnisin b'chinen like kash. Masnisin b'yam tevishim. Shal chaser minat Torah. On the first day of Yom Tov, which it's minat Torah, then you need ubeinen l'kichatama, complete taking. The chayfet of the esrog has to be completely there. The chsev lekachtem lekichatam. It was only on the second day where he did that. Yom Tov Sheni nafet by Rav Chanina afgal lihayah shalom. So that explains Rav Chanina. Elo l'Rav. How does this work with Rav? The Rav de Amar ein zehadar. Rav clearly said, an esrog attacked by achbarim is not hadar, which means it cannot be used on the second day as well. If so, kasher Rav Chanina. Da'afilu b'sheni na'ami l'Rav ne'nafik. Right? Rav says it's lacking in hadar if it's not a full fruit. And if it's lacking in hadar, it's not only possible for the first day. Even for the second day, it has to be nice and beautiful. Why? He's going to use it when he says a bracha. He needs to conform. He needs to be zekeil v'anvei. Could amresh pirk, just as we learned in the beginning of the parak, yavesh pasul. A dried out esrog is pasul. Why? Lo yishna b'yom tavrishin. Lo yom tavrishin. Why? Right? Remember the Gemara in the back of the beginning of the parak spoke about a lulav, a dried out lulav, on the second day is possible as well, because it needs to be harder even for the second day. You're using it for your mitzvah, using it for the Shem Shemayim. What responds? Well, attack by achbarim is repulsive, it's mos. It's lacking in harder. But just take a bite out of the esrog, whatever's left is still harder, and it's kasha for the second day. Continues the Gemara, Ikadamri, there's another version of this discussion. Rav began by discussing an esrog nikvu achbarim, and he said, Amar Rav, ze hadar. It's actually hadar, and can be used for the second day. Deha Rav Chanina matba benafik ba. Rav Arai from Chanina, who took a bite of the esrog and used it for the mitzvah. Apparently, even a chaser is still considered hadar. And we're not machalik between a bite or achbarim. Either way, whatever is left behind is still considered hadar. Well, how does that work with the Mishnah? Which tells us that chaser is possible. Answer is, like kashir, kam yom tov rishon, on the first day it has to be a complete esrog, kichat tam, chaser is possible. Kam yom tov sheni, whereas the second day, you don't need a lekichat tam, a complete taking. Even if it's missing a portion, as long as the rest is still nice and beautiful and intact, that's hadar. Esrog katan. Mishnah spoke about the smallest esrog you can take, according to Rav Meir, size of a walnut, ke'egis. According to Rav Yehuda, ke'beitza. A egg equivalent. Now, the Gemara actually, you may remember back on Lamed Aleph, told us this discussion is unrelated to hadar. Rav Yehuda doesn't hold of hadar by esrog. Rather, it's a question of gemar pera, what's considered a properly developed fruit. As we mentioned earlier, we're speaking about an esrog which can't grow past that point. It's a mini esrog just by nature. Rav Meir holds it has to at least have achieved the size of an egg to be considered a properly developed fruit. Rav Yehuda says, more than that, it kebeitza. Perhaps the point is that once it gets to that size, it's considered an esrog of personal size. Esrog has some a significance to it, and now we consider it a properly developed and matured fruit. Amar Rav from Rav Papa. It's interesting, the same machlekes we have here, we have elsewhere. Same discussion, Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, ke'egos, ke'beitza, same thing. Ke'machlekes kan, just as they had this discussion here by esrog, was considered personal size, egos or ke'beitza, kach machlekes ba'avonim mekruzolis. The same discussion they had regarding avonim, stones, mikurzoles, with smooth edges, which are suitable for use in the Beis HaKisei. The Sandi B'Shabbos, we learned in Shabbos, givel avonim mikurzoles. Three of these smooth-edged stones, muta lahachas Beis HaKisei, can be taken into Beis HaKisei on Shabbos, despite the fact that it's muktzah. Chachamim suspended the muktzah concern on account of kavod abriyos, human dignity, and that's allowed. V'kama shiurim. How large are these stones to be considered suitable for this purpose? What is considered personal-sized stones? Rabbi Meir, mikav egos. Size of egos. Rabbi Meir, mikav beitzah. Size of a kebeitzah. So we see they're having a similar discussion by Shabbos as by Sukkah. Which is a good way to remember both discussions. Shabbos and Esrog revolves around the egos and the kebeitzah. What's the maximum size of your esrog? Says the Gemara, "Begadol kadei sheyoychaz." It can't be too big. You have to have the ability to grab onto the esrog to have at least two of these asroigim in one hand. More earlier explained, for practical reasons, because he might have been handed the minim, the lulav and the esrog, in the wrong hands. He's grabbed the esrog in his right, the lulav in his left, and he's going to try to switch things around, and in order to properly maneuver it, it can't be too big. So what's the maximum? The Rebbe says, "Kadei sheyoicha shnayim yada achas." It can't be too large. You have to be able to hold on to two esrogim in one hand, which will allow him to maneuver the lulav and the esrog around at ease, with ease. Amalei says the word Tanya. Amar Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi disagreed. He held that, well, it could even be bigger than that. I feel echad v'shtehadav. Even if you need two hands to hold on to one esrog, that's fine. Tanya on Rabbi Yosi. I'll prove it with a story. Masa. But Rabbi Akiva, Shabbala Besaknes, he arrived in Shul, v'estroy gal k'seifai, transporting the esrog on his shoulder. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, misham raya, how could he prove from there? Afheim amarle. In fact, they responded to him, ain't zahadar, that's not hadar. Meaning, even if you're not concerned about dropping and slippage and maneuvering, well, it certainly doesn't conform to hadar, it's too big. So Rabbi Yehuda negated the raya. Actually, the other chachamim challenged Rabbi Yosi, it's too big for an esrog. Continues the Mishnah. Ein oigdin es halulav el b'minay. Did Rabbi Yehuda? You see, Rabbi Yehuda holds that lulav tzorach eged. It's part of the requirement. You have to tie together the lulav with the hadas with the arava. What type of band, what type of material should you use? Only minay. One may only use lulav substance, lulav material. Either from the lulav tree, or the arava, or the hadas. That can be used to bind the lulav together. The Gemara will give the reason for this. Rav Meir Omer, you don't necessarily need lulav material. Afilo b'chut or b'mashicha, even using an ordinary string or band. Abner Rav Meir, prove it with a story. Masa b'anshi Yerushalayim. Shehoyu oigdin es lulavim b'gimayin yishal zav. They would wrap their lulavim using golden threads. Apparently, you don't need lulav material for this. Amr Lai, Chacham responded, no, b'minay. Hayu oigdin oisim lamata. You only saw the gold on top, but on bottom, where there would be Mekai mitzvahs igud, they used lulav material. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rava. Even though Rabbi Yehuda requires lulav material, what constitutes lulav material? Anything from the palm tree. I feel a besif, even using the fiber which grows on the bottom of the palm tree. I feel a be'ikr the dikl. The actual wood itself, or the peel, the bark. If it's palm tree related, it's okay. Apparently, it has nothing to do with beauty and having it match the lulav. Right? And the Gemara will explain, if so, what's the point of having it the same material? There's a halacha concern. Val toisev, v'amar rava, my time with Rabbi Yehuda. What's Rabbi Yehuda's reason? Why do we insist on using lulav material for this purpose? Because savar lulav tzarech eged. You see, he holds, there's a din, there's a chiv to bind the lulav together. Tzarech eged. And therefore, you can only use lulav material. Because the strap used to bind together the lulav is part and parcel of that lulav entity. You're creating a bundle with the strap as well. It's all part of it. If he'll use a foreign substance, have a chamisha mini. He'll end up with five minim. He'll end up with another min, another type of material, on top of the four minim, lulav, esrog, hadas, and arava. And that's baltoisif. Now, why is this dafka related to Rabbi Yehuda? The answer is, Tosis earlier explains this, the answer is because, according to the Chachamim, there's no concern to begin with. See, even though they also recommend tying the lulav, zekelev anveu, but when you take a strap of other material, and use it to bind the lulav, even though it's an extra min, there's no bal toisef issues, because it's shaloi kederach kedei losim. The minim are meant to be taken upright, the way they grow. So this item which is being used to strap the other ones, it's sideways. It's not derech de losa, and therefore, it's not part of your taking. There's no issue of baltoisif. You're not adding anything to the taking. You're not taking. You're using it as a sideways bond. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, that ege is the way you're meant to do your lulav. So strapping, tying, wrapping is the way to take your lulav. It's not called shaloi kederech. That's the way you're meant to make it. And should you use fire material, something other than the four minim, you're adding another min to your bundle. Here's Baal Tosef. Now, when we say ein oidin es halulav el b'minay, by the way, are we speaking lulav, esreg, hadasim, rabbis material, any four, or any of those four, or is it dafk lulav hadas v'rabba? Machlok is in the achronim. What would be the svara? Well, the svara to allow any of the four materials is because that's the mitzvah. You're not adding anything. Right? So even if you're going to use esrog material somehow, some strap from the esrog tree, that's cool. It's okay. You're not adding anything. The other shita would be no, that the esrog, since it's not really meant to be part of that bond, right? The esrog stays separate. We learned that yesterday, right? The esrog, actually, back on Lamed Aleph. So it's meant to be taken together, but not bound together. It's not part of the bundle. It's not part of the package. So perhaps by taking some esrog material and using it to bind the lulav, you're sort of taking the esrog twice. And that perhaps is a concern of Baal Tosef. What exactly does the Mishnah mean? Ein oigdin salulav el b'minoi. Minoi meaning lulav esrog hadas arav material, or dafka lulav hadas varav. But in any case, that's dafka concern of Rabbi Yehuda, but not in the Rabbanah. V'omar Rava adds Rava another aspect. No, actually, it's going to be a right. Sorry. Rava had a chiddush, and he said, the point is, use lulav material, and any palm tree material conforms. Right? That was his chiddush. Because it's not a question of matching it up, it's not a question of beauty, it's a question of Baal Tosef. As long as you don't introduce another variety, you're not adding to Baal Tosef. V'omar Rava mana aminila. Indeed, how do I know that this is true? The sieve, that the fiber growing on the bottom of the palm, v'ikur d'dikla, or the actual palm tree itself, mina d'lovo, is considered a lulav material. Even though it's not that soft, pliable branch called lulav. How do I know? How do I know it's considered the same min and can be used to be oiged the lulav, even according to Rabbi Yehuda? So now Rava will prove that point. The Sani, listen to this price. We have another machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim regarding which material can be used for your schach. Brisa says, Basukos teishvu, shivas yamim. Basukos is lashon rabim. Sukos shekol davar v'davar, dir Rav Meir. Brisa says you can use any material for your schach, as long as it's something that grows from the ground, not makabel tumah. But any other material is fine. Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, ein sukos neheges el b'dal minim shebelulav. Listen to this chiddush, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the only material kosher for schach is material of those four minim used for the lulav. Lulav, esrog, hadas, and aravos. How does he know this? Vadu noisim. I'll prove it through a kavachim. He's going to derive this chiddush by way of a kavachim. Umal lulav, shein noyeg b'leilos kibiyamim. Since we find that lulav, despite the fact that it has a relative leniency, it's a lighter mitzvah relative to sukkah. Luluv is only noyig by day. It's not noyig at night. Shake a luluv only by day. So it has a limited mitzvah. Ein noyig ela ba'arbas minim. Still, it has that specification. It's limited. It has that chumrah. The mitzvah luluv only applies to the four minim. Certainly the sukkah, shenehegas b'leilos kibiyam, which is more stringent, stands higher than luluv. It's a continuous mitzvah all throughout these 7 days, day, night, uninterrupted mitzvah. So if it stands higher, certainly it has more restrictions. Of course, says Rabbi Yehuda, you can only use these four materials for your sukkah, for your schach. So that's how Rabbi Yehuda arrives at this conclusion, that only the four minim of the lulav are kosher for schach. Omer lo yicham responded, look, something flawed with your kavochimer. What's a kavochimer? You have item A and item B. If item B is a lighter thing, still it has that restriction. Item B, which is more stringent, which is more chamer, which stands higher, more chashev, of course it has that same restriction. So you're trying to generate a chumer. Item B, which is, to begin with, more chamer, should certainly adopt the chumra present by item A, right? That's the point of a kavachim. That's kal, this is chamer. The halacha that applies to the kal, certainly should add stringency to the chomer, right? That's the point of the kavah chomer. Now, in this case, say the rabbanan, it isn't necessarily going to result in a chomer. Let's say he runs out of lulav material. It's going to be potter from sukkah. So in effect, you're generating a kula, which is really the opposite of what you're trying to do. It flies in the face of the logic of the kavah chomer. Kavah chomer is based on the fact that the sukkah is more chomer than lulav and has more restrictions, but it could so happen that he'll end up being potter from sukkah because of this kal v'chomer. So actually, you're offering him a kula, not a chumra. Amar lo, chacham respond to him. Kol din, anytime you present a limud, a kal v'chomer, shatadan t'chilos l'achmer, v'seif l'hakol, which begins with a chumra. Certainly, item B, which is more chumra, should have that chumra as well, v'seif l'hakol, but it ends up somehow resulting in a kula, ain't a din. That's the opposite of what you're trying to do. That's not a valid kal v'chomer. In our case, let's say he can't locate the four minim. A yeshiva batel, he'll be sitting idle without a mitzvah. So in effect, you created a kula. Says Rashi on top. It's you actually presented him with a kula. The whole justification, the whole basis of the kal v'chomer was because you're going to add a chumra to the sukkah. You added a kula, not a chumra. You started with presenting a chumra to the sukkah. Since we find lulav which is more light than sukkah, it's a limited mitzvah. It still has this chumra that only applies to the four minim. Sukkah chamura, shenayis, baleilis, b'chul. Certainly sukkah, which is more chamur, it's a continuous mitzvah throughout the yomtiv. Of course, it has that chumra as well. Well, you actually produced a kula, not a chumra. That's number one. Number two, says the Gemara in the second line, v'atayin amra, what does the pasuk say? Basukah is teishu shivas yamim. Sukkah is lashon rabim. To indicate sukkah shall call davar. Many materials suitable for schach. Why are you limiting it to the four minim? Not only that, we have a right, v'chein be'ezra amra. Ezra, when he gave them instructions of how to build a sukkah, what did he say? Tzu'ar, go out to the mountains and gather all types of branches for your schach. Vivu ali zayis, olive leaves. Vali it's shemen. It's shemen is the afarsamine tree. It's not lulav related material. Leaves of that tree. Vali hadas. Vali tmarim. Palm material. Vali it's avis. Hadasim. Vasu sukkah is kakosif. Apparently, you don't need lulav material for your sukkah. Ali, it's shemen, isn't lulav material. Rabbi Yehuda, how does he respond to this, right? Savar hani litfanis. The non-lulav material described in this pasuk were used for the walls of the sukkah. Walls? Can be made of anything. However, ali hadas, vali tmar, vali it's avis, which are lulav related material, right? Hadasim, the ali tmar of the palm tree, ali it's avis, which are the properly braided hadasim. Indeed, that was used, l'schach, just as I said. Okay, so end of discussion. What can be used for schach? Rabbi Yehuda says, lulav material. Right? Lulav, hadasim, arabes, esreg. Chacham say, any material. Many branches. Now, how does this relate to our discussion? Let's go back for a second. Let's backtrack. Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah tells us, you need to bind your lulav using minay, lulav material. Rav explained, it's because of the Baal Tosef concern. Rav explained further, since it's not a question of aesthetics and beauty, any palm tree material is suitable, because that's considered the min of the lulav. It's all from the same tree. Rav says, I'm going to prove my point. He presented another machlekes. Where Rav Yehuda says, only lulav-related material is kasher for schach. Okay, that's what we're holding. Now, what's included in lulav related material? Let's take a look at the Mishnah back on Daf Yudal. Utnan mesachin ben asarin. The Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda clearly says you can use masarin boards. Let's assume we're speaking about palm tree boards. That's not lulav. That's absolute wood. Alma says Rava, I can prove from this. Apparently, siv v'ikra d'dikla, any palm tree related material is considered lulav material. Alma siv, the fiber, v'yikra d'dikla, the actual wood itself, the bark, the trunk, whatever it is, in that palm tree, mina de lulav ushmamina, is considered min of lulav. That's a clear raya to my shita. So conclusion, we have two machlekes, bin Rabida and Rabbanan, closely related. In both cases, Rabida says you can only use lulav material, whether it's regarding the igud halulav, because you don't want to add a new substance which will create a baltais of concern, or with respect to schach. Rabida says, based on a kavu chaymer, that only the arba minim akasha v'schach, chacham disagree on both accounts. Why? When it comes to binding the lulav, since it's not something mandated, it's just lenoi, and he's going to place it sideways, and that's not called derech netila. So even a different min doesn't pose a baltois of concern. In fact, Rav Meir proved it from the case in Yerushalayim where they use gold by threads. And in the case of the Yischach, Chachamim disproved, at least in their minds, they disproved Rabbi Yehuda's Kal Vachomer, and they proved from the Pasuk, Pasuk's Teshu, the Pasuk by Ezra, any type of branches or leaves are suitable for Yischach. Okay, let's do a quick chazar of today's daf. What is the locha regarding an estrig, which developed in whole, Nika? So if it's missing something, it's really chaser, then it's puzzle. I was speaking, of course, on the first day, when you need to have a lekicha tam. If it's a nekev mefulash, through and through, or even if it's not through and through, but it's the size of an iser, in both these cases, it is also considered puzzle. It appears from the Gemara that's a hadar concern, which lechay would apply even on the second day. We compare the deficiencies of the estrig to the deficiencies of the animal, the treifa, and we had a shaila regarding the estrig whose interior had dissolved, nishbach kakitin, but the chadri hazera, the actual compartments inside, remained intact. The Gemara left it unresolved, although by an animal we assume that it's kosher, the Gemara clearly says so, and that's perhaps because it's not exposed to the aver and can somehow keep itself a shank in the estrig. Perhaps this will lead it to rot, and it's not considered a hadar. We left it as a question mark. We had a list of psulim which are hadar related, discolored, disfigured, etc. We had a discussion regarding the estrig kushi, the black one. Oh. So the conclusion was as follows. If it grew in Eretz Yisrael, where it's not meant to be black, going to all shittas, it's pasla, it's nidma. It's just an imitation, it's unnatural. What if it grew in Eretz Kush, where the estrigim are black? Oh, so the way Rava concluded, for the people living in that area where they're accustomed to this type of estrig, that's hadar and it's fine. Whereas people living far away, lon, people less than Eretz Yisrael, it's not considered hadar and cannot be used. We discussed an estrig katan, a small estrig geboiser, which will eventually develop into a larger estrig, but at this point, it's as yet undeveloped and small. Rabbi Akiva says, pasul, chamsay kasher. Then we're proposed, perhaps it's an hadar issue. Rabbi Akiva says it's not hadar, chamsay it is. We discussed the halach of chaser. On Yom Tov Rishon, it's acceptable because Lekach Tem teaches us Lekicha Tama, whereas on Yom Tov Sheni, we're not so machmer, and Sheni Rabbanon, we allow estrig chaser. According to one version of the Gemara, it depends how it's missing. How it went missing? Is it was it just because he was matva, but he chewed out of it? In that case, it's kosher. But in the case of the achbarim shenikvu, perhaps that's an additional factor because it's mos and would be possible even for the second day because it's lacking in hadar. We concluded with the two machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Chachamim regarding using material for the igud. Rabbi Yehuda says dafka b'mini. Otherwise, the question about toisif. Chachamim. Not concerned about that. You can use any type of material, including gold. And then we had the discussion regarding schach. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to use dafka the arba minah shebelulav, whereas according to Chachamim, any type of growing, any type of material, any type of branches or leaves, would be kosher as long as it's not mekabel tumah and geduloi min haaretz. Hatzlacha rabba and kol tov to you.